What's up, y'all? It's Cash. Let's talk about it, the groundbreaking experience. We got a special guest today, Victor Greaves. And today we're talking about the importance of kingdom connections. But you know what we do? We start off with an icebreaker. So, Victor, if you are a potato, what way would you like to be cooked?
If I was a potato, which way would I like to be cooked?
Yep.
I would assume I'd want to be fried. I would assume that'd be the quickest way to go. the boil and the bake just seems like it's a little cruel. If I were to be the potato, yeah. All right, yeah. I'd be fried.
Now I feel like baking would be easier because like with fries, like you gotta cut me up, and you gotta take off my skin and all that.
I didn't say turn me into fries. I was just frying. just throw me in there real quick, and I think because it's the hottest, so it'd be the quickest, you know.
Yeah, fried potato.
Yeah, because the baking and the boiling and I foresee, you know, that takes a little while. So whatever you're gonna do it quickly, you know.
All right. How important is your environment when living for God, or in general?
How important is my environment?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, my environment is extremely important. It's like, so you know how they say, you know, if you're surrounded by three rich people, you'll be the fourth. If you're surrounded by three poor people, you'll be the fourth. Environment is crucial. Ultimately, because you at some point end up becoming your environment. It's very difficult, even for the strongest of people, to be the differentiator in their circle. It's very difficult. So I'd say environment is very, very important. My environment is my peace. My environment is my motivation. My environment is what I look forward to, you know? You ever have like a long day of work and you're just looking forward to going home because, you know, your environment is pure, your environment is clean.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same exact thing, you know, environment, atmosphere, even Holy Spirit, you know, dwells in particular atmospheres and environments. So environment is very important.
All right. What would you say to someone? Because, you know, sometimes God wants us to, like, stay in a place for a season. So, like, let's say somebody is not really feeling their environment, but like, God wants them to stay there for a season or a particular time. How would one, like, cope with that?
Recognizing God's sovereignty and also recognizing that, you know, someone there is sustained as a result of you being there. I've been in situations where I did not want to be where I was. But I was assigned to that particular place. And I would not be released from that particular place until my assignment was complete. And it's the assignment at times that can keep me going, you know, knowing that me being there is someone else's strength, especially in youth ministry and being in youth leadership. You know, sometimes you don't want to be who you're supposed to be, right? Mm-hmm. But because you already are the burden of leadership, the accountability, you know that, you know, the young people looking up to you are encouraged by your level of consistency. So when you don't want to be a part of environment, I believe the best advice would be to simply remember why you're there.
Mm-hmm.
And just take confidence in knowing that, you know, you are someone's strength. And so someone can't watch you give up. You know, you have to be strong for others.
Okay. What's your definition of a kingdom connection?
A kingdom connection. I believe a kingdom connection is you being connected to someone for the furtherance of or the advancement of the kingdom. I believe connections are simply connections, meaning, you know, I know this person, this is where they can take me, this is what they can do for me. I think more carnal connections are just, you know, more so focused on marketing and advertising and things like that. But a kingdom connection is a connection where you literally will be able to partner with someone for the furtherance or the advancement of God's kingdom. For example, you know, if I even this right here, you know, this clearly isn't just a connection. It's now a kingdom connection because now what I'm doing is I'm partnering with you to further advance God's kingdom. You understand what I mean?
Yeah.
So kingdom advancement. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. So how important do you think those connections are? Like, I like to call it the Christian network.
How important is it to be connected to people in the Christian network?
Yeah.
It's important, but I also believe that we must be discerning of the times and the seasons that we are connected to certain people.
Mm.
It's like we just because we are initially connected doesn't mean we're meant to be connected forever. right? But also, sometimes God will literally have you in a season or a place where you're supposed to go through things or do certain things alone. You know, it's important that we don't begin to rely on the connections, because our help and our strength actually comes from the one above, God, right? But, you know, kingdom connections are definitely good and definitely necessary, and important and productive, when they are sanctioned and assigned. When they're sanctioned and assigned.
All right. What does that mean? Sanctioned and assigned.
Meaning it's God ordained, you know, for that particular time, that particular season. Because there's certain things that have to happen when they have to happen. And there's certain, think about elementary school, middle school, high school, college. You know, you might have, you can't bring your elementary school kingdom connection to a college class. You understand what I mean? Mm-hmm. There's certain connections and things that are needed for you at certain times. You're going to be gaining different things from different people, and you're going to be partnering with different people in different ways. You know, you might partner with the evangelist, you might partner with the prophet, you might partner with the pastor or different people, all of these different spiritual giftings or classes. You know, you're going to have to know who to partner with and when to partner with them. It's like, so should that relationship be sanctioned and assigned for that particular time, you'll be able to get done what you need to get done. There's nothing worse than being connected to the right person in the wrong time.
All right. How does one build kingdom connections?
Literally, I believe the best way to build kingdom connections is by staying in the face of God. I'm a solid believer. And if you just do what you're supposed to do and stay in the face of God, God will literally begin to send people to you. Happenstantially, we serve the kind of God that will have the person that's meant to invest into your vision. You'll meet them in Starbucks in line. You know, you'll bump into them at the train station. You'll be on a clubhouse and randomly meet the person that's going to be the answer to your problem. You know, but so long as you remain faithful and you're doing what you need to do and you're staying in the face of God, God will then put you in position to meet the people you need to meet.
Yeah, I agree with that. Me and Michael was talking about that the other day. It's like right now, because we just like started really living for Christ a couple months ago. But we were saying like, yo, I meet like 15 new Christians every week. It's like it's scary. It's like there's just the amount of people that you're connected to, like that love of God is just rapidly increasing out of nowhere.
It's just like when you ever like say like you want something. I remember when I wanted like an Acura RSX. It's like that like sports car. When I was 17, I wanted one, and it's like the moment you say you want that car or you want that object, you begin to see everyone with it. You ever notice that?
Yeah.
All of a sudden, it's so much more visible. So as you begin to grow in your relationship with God, you'll begin to find more people that love God. You know. And a reason people usually have a difficult time finding fellow believers is because, you know, they don't know what to look for in a believer, because we're so segregated in reformations and denominations that we don't know what a believer, quote unquote, looks like. The traditional church looks one way, but then the more modern church looks a different way. So then you find out, you know, oh, you are a believer, but they just don't look the way you thought they would look, you know? But yeah, it's like, I believe if you literally just avail yourself, when you avail yourself to something and you begin to subscribe to something, you'll begin to see it more often. But you just must have your eyes open, because, you know, everyone isn't going to look the same.
All right. What's your experience with Kingdom Connections? Like, how have Kingdom Connections helped you?
Kingdom Connections have helped me greatly, even from, you know, the answering to my call of ministry. It was a result of a kingdom connection. You know, there are certain people that have no man is an island, right? No man can do it all by himself. Of course, he has the help of God. But oftentimes we talk about God sending help. And how does God send help? God sends help through people. God sends help through people. Kingdom connections for me have been huge. People that are able to do the things that I am not good at, you know? So we're balancing each other out. If I'm really good at marketing and sales, I might need someone that's really good at administration. You know, if I have someone that's great at administration and marketing and sales, now I might need someone that's really good in, you know, the HR department, you know, like different things like that. Just like a business is run. Kingdom connections have been powerful to me because God has sent me people that are proficient in the areas that I am inefficient.
When working towards your calling or trying to push God's like work, like trying to push the kingdom, how important is it to not compare yourself?
When working towards your calling and trying to push kingdom advancement, how important is it to not compare yourself?
Yeah.
Comparison kills. Comparison really does kill. You can't afford to compare yourself. It's detrimental. Because if you compare yourself, oftentimes you end up being discouraged. And discouragement is actually the enemy to our commitment. Discouragement is the enemy to our commitment. Discouragement is what keeps us from doing things that we ought be doing. A lot of people have started great plights and great things and stopped them because somewhere along the line, they got discouraged, whether it was due to a lack of finances, due to a lack of support. You know, they ended up dropping what they were doing and they were on track to do great things, but they stopped because they were discouraged. So I admonish anyone, you know, to not compare yourself and recognize that there's room for you and there's an audience for you. If you compare yourself, you aren't going to measure up. And the reason you won't measure up is because you guys are ultimately potentially called to different things. You know what I mean? I mean, think about Apple and Android, right? Apple and Android. If they spent all their days comparing to one another, they'd constantly just be looking to change their values, their belief systems.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas those two companies focus on just being great themselves. What makes that person individually great? And recognizing that they're simply called to a different market. Some of them are going to be called to business people. Some of them are going to be more consumer-friendly products. You know, there's room. There's room in the space. There's room in the market. There's room in the space for you. It's just a matter of you recognizing who you are and what you're actually called to do.
All right. Do you believe that everybody is called by God?
I believe everyone is called by God to do something.
Okay.
So
I say, how does one find their calling?
How does one find their calling? One finds their calling by first and foremost getting into the Word of God. You will always find yourself somewhere in the Word of God. There's no thing that happens today that is not found in the Word of God. So the first step to finding your calling is, you know, getting yourself active, acclimated with the Word of God, meaning the Holy Scriptures, the Bible, right? The second way to find your calling is to partner, subscribe, and join a Bible-believing, Spirit-filled, Spirit-led church with a good pastor, because a good pastor will be your pasture. A good pastor, P-A-S-T-O-R, will be your pasture, P-A-S-T-U-R-E. They're ultimately going to, you know, lead you, train you. They should be able to recognize it, and they'll continuously lead you and train you and develop you. I was like, but you know, you should know who you are through the Word of God, and your pastor should be able to provide you with the biblical principles to become all that God has called you to be.
That's good. That's good. So when you were called into youth ministry, did you want to do it?
Excellent question. No, I did not want to do it when I was called into youth ministry. I was like, so when I was called into youth ministry, my story doesn't make much sense. I didn't want to do it, but I felt I had to do it. So as a young believer, I grew up in a family where everyone was something. You know, I have two bishops that are uncles. I have an elder as a father. You know, all of my family had some form of, you know, title or position in the church. So when it came to my turn, I wasn't surprised, but I didn't necessarily want to do it because I didn't really know what I was doing yet, you know? But I do certainly believe my life has been changed as a result of giving God that yes. Because there are certain things that the position in and of itself kept me from doing. I was accountable to my leader, and I was accountable to God. I was accountable to the youth that I was leading. And just knowing that they were looking up to me kept me from some terrible pitfalls that I probably would have done had I not had that weight on my shoulders. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
When you know someone's watching you and looking up to you, there's that I can't let them down, I can't mess up kind of thing. Especially being the first teenage minister ever licensed in my organization. Mm-hmm. I had a big old, you know, magnifying glass on me, knowing that, you know, if I mess up, I'm potentially ruining this for every other teenager in ministry. Mm. You know? I definitely didn't want to do it. I didn't want to do it. But I felt the call to do it. And I think that's a big differentiator there. I didn't want to, but I felt the call to.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
So for people that have been called by God to lead them to do something, but they don't really want to do it, so they're like stopping themselves from doing it and want to like basically do their own will. Like, what would you say to them to get them to do what God called them to do?
Your yes to God will never cost you as much as your no. Your yes to God will never cost you as much as your no. It really just comes from a found confidence in knowing that God truly does all things well. God truly does all things well. Every disappointment that I've experienced in my life has resulted in me being and getting what I have now. You know, it all works out. All things literally work together for the good of those that love the Lord. And that's just something that we have to recognize after a while, you know. But your yes to God never cost you as much as your no. Also, you know, since if that thing ends up being your purpose, you're going to end up doing it anyway. I mean, think about, you know, Jonah, right? I mean, he was swallowed up. I mean, how much easier would it have been if he was not swallowed up? He still ended up exactly where he was supposed to be anyway. Yeah. but now he stunk because he was, you know, swallowed up by a great, you understand what I mean? Yeah. It's the same thing. You're going to end up, God is in control. He provides us with free will, but you know, if we're assigned to a particular thing and that thing is our purpose and our calling anyways, we're going to end up doing it or God doesn't have the need of us.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Oh, your yes to God never costs as much as no. Never.
Yep. Like with the Jonah story, like you said, he basically ended up doing his purpose regardless, but he went through pain that he didn't need to go through in the first place.
I said, but even in that story, look at what it has done for us today. Mm-hmm. We now have the Jonah story as a blueprint and an example to see like what happens to those that don't follow God, but end up having to do it anyways. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, so as the reader, I'm now encouraged to know, don't go through it that way. Mm-hmm. You know, just don't do it that way. It's like, so even in that, you know, even in that, Jonah's life had purpose. Jonah's disobedience was ministry. Jonah's disobedience has taught us to not be disobedient. Mm. As a reader, thousands of years later, we are now being ministered to, and we're now receiving revelation from his particular no to God that ended up being a yes anyways. Mm. You understand what I mean? So that's a prime example. It's a prime example of what I was talking about moments ago. You know, your yes to God will never cost you as much as your no, but God has a way of taking your misery and turning it into ministry. God has a way of taking your mess and turning it into a message. Mm. You know, it's like, and God's going to find a way to get the glory out of any story. You know? So yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I agree. I want to add on. Basically, I was discussing something with a friend about basically saying yes to your calling and what God wants you to do. And sometimes on the surface level, it looks like, it may not look like what we want to do or in the moment, but something that I realize is that your calling will not cannot like ever disappoint you, because that is what God designed you for. Like literally when he made you and created you, he wired you for this specific purpose. So it may seem like odd because based off what you were doing before, but when you go head in and really love God and really try to do it to please God, you'll really find yourself in it and be like, wow, this is really what I'm made for. And you'll get comfortable.
And you can't be afraid of the quality test. You can't be afraid of the quality test. People think just because they're called to something that it's supposed to be easy. And that's where people usually end up being disappointed and discouraged, like we were talking about earlier. You know, if you know you're called to some mega ministry, but you have many followers, right? Or you know you're called to do big things, but people don't seem to be supporting you. Just because you're called doesn't mean it's supposed to be easy. It's like, and sometimes what God will do is he'll actually put you through a season of quality assessment, quality checking, making sure you're in it for the right reasons, making sure that you're willing to be consistent and going to be consistent, even when your environment is contrary to what you're trying to do. Even with this Quarantine with Jesus podcast, you know, I know for sure this is something that's needed. This is something that's sanctioned. This is something that you're called to do. I was like, but you know, but there might be moments and times where it isn't where it should be.
Yep.
I was like, but what we can't allow ourselves to be or become is discouraged. And in the process of being discouraged, we end up quitting it prematurely because oftentimes we're going through a quality test, a quality check. You know, God's testing us to see, you know, will we? Even on the prayer call that we have on Thursdays, you know, you've seen it. There's been 40 people on. There's been 10 people on. I said, but sometimes God is seeing, will we remain consistent? Will we pray in spite of? Will we continue to pray? Will we give it our all? You know what I mean? A quality test.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's a fact. Basically, yeah, when you start doing your calling or whatever, it gets harder. And something I read, I'm not sure if it was Romans or 1 Corinthians. Basically, Paul said, like, it said that the Holy Spirit, I think it was Acts. I'm not sure. But basically, Holy Spirit, like, warned Paul of what would happen to him before he went into like every city to spread the gospel, right? He said he had to like count the cost and like come like find peace with it before he like before he did it. And I feel like sometimes the reason people stop prematurely, like how we said, is because they never thought about what could not happen. And sometimes I tell myself, like, even before this year, like when the year started, I'm like, yeah, I got words, it's gonna be a good year, da 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 da. But at the same time, I have to be at peace with the fact knowing that it's going to be a rough year too if it's going to be good. Like, I'm going to have to go through stuff, and you're going to have to go through stuff. There's going to be moments where you have to stop. Like, you can just get killed for being a Christian. You have to know, like, I try to think about the worst thing that could happen and then say, all right, I'm going to expect that and still go with it so that whatever comes, I'm not surprised.
Absolutely. If someone tells you 2021 is going to be a year of victory, that means that there's going to be a battle. Yep. You know what I mean? Sometimes we get so excited about the victory that we forget about the, oh snap, victory over what? That means I'm going to have to encounter something, you know? But at the end of the day, God is so much greater, and there's just so much more. There's so much more for us.
Yep.
There's so much more in us, you know, and we, as again, I keep saying it, our yes to God will never cost as much as the no. And the enemy will cause us to think that that the no would be easier, you know, but truly it won't be. It won't be.
The no seems easier because it's more comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about this on the podcast before. Like, I want to hear thoughts on it. Basically, like, I feel like as a Christian, like, comfortability is very dangerous. Like, we shouldn't look to be comfortable, because if you're comfortable, it's saying that, like, there's a certain point, like, I'm like, you made it, but there's always more. Like, there's more of God, and we would never be perfect. So there's always more that we have to work on ourselves.
Yeah. You just have to be careful of the wanting the more and not being there's a big difference in being like complacent versus the anxious. You know, we should never be anxious. But we also can't allow ourselves to be complacent, but we should consistently be pressing towards the mark, you know, knowing we should be striving to get 1% better every day, knowing that God has more for us, you know, because there's been moments when I've done what God told me to do. And then I felt like, okay, well, I did it. Check that off the list. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
as if, but then, you know, there's always more. There's always a follow-up. There's always something more to it. So we certainly shouldn't be complacent. But I also want to make sure that we're not anxious, you know, but we're just in consistent relationship and we're just, you know, ready for what God has for us.
Yeah, something that I want to hear your thoughts on is basically separating your calling, or not even calling, like your work that you're doing for God, whether it be evangelizing, spreading the gospel, the work that you're doing for God from your personal mm-hmm. time, from your personal time with God. I feel like sometimes, like me personally, I get that intertwined and I see it as the same thing, but it's really not, because like me, like God told me like this weekend, like I need to rest. Cause like me, when I see something like I get a vision of something, I really want something done, I go after it. And like, I just been going for months, like not stopping. I really want to do it. So it's like, but sometimes that could take away from your personal time from God. And it's like, woohoo, you're doing your God, your calling, but you're not really growing in your relationship with God, which is the most important, because that will sustain you for your calling.
Yeah. So I'm kind of the same way. I'm completion based, right? I can't sleep at night until I get the job done. You know, if you tell me we're going to paint a room, I can't like do it wall by wall. I have to paint the entire room or I won't be able to go to bed, you know? So I'm the same kind of guy in that respect. But what I do know is if you're doing something for God, God being the author and the finisher, him being the person that laid it on your heart, he's going to provide you with the materials and with the methods to getting that thing done. For instance, I'll take it to scripture. Solomon's temple, right? David was the one that heard God and was like, you know, build the temple. Solomon didn't say, I want to build the temple for the Lord. It was David. David was the one that had the vision to build the temple, but the temple couldn't be built by David because David had too much blood on his hands. And if David were to be the one to build the temple, it would signify that it's only a temple for those that are not enemies to David. Right. Mm-hmm. So what the Lord did was he found a neutral party in Solomon. Solomon was a neutral party. And if Solomon built the temple, it now meant it's a temple for all people. But David was the one that had the vision, but Solomon was the person that had to do the building. But then what happened was David provided Solomon with all the necessary materials in order to get the temple built. So I say all of that to say, you know, you can't allow yourself to be anxious. Because, you know, what's God ordained will be maintained. What God ordains, he will maintain. And he also will provide you with all the necessary materials in order to get the job done. Now, in regards to it separating from your, taking away from your personal time with God, that's just a discipline that we have to work on ourselves. We just have to, you should be in consistent communication with God through prayer. You have to find a time every single day to communicate with God. You have to have a prayer closet. A prayer closet does not mean a literal closet, all right? A prayer closet doesn't mean like you have to have a direct space, but there has to be some type of space or some type of time that you set aside to make sure you're in communication with your Father. You're in communication with your God, you know? Mm-hmm. I don't necessarily believe that fulfilling your assignment takes you away from God. I just think you should still remain in communication with him. And you'll also be able to tell, you know, if you're on the right track based on the level of provision and things that are happening while you're trying to fulfill that assignment. Because like I said, God will make the way.
All right. So what's the dangers of not having that personal time with God every day?
The dangers is being led of self. Mm-hmm. Being led of self. We can't think for God. We can't think for God. When Noah was building the ark, he had direct instructions. God gave him everything from the measurements to the materials. You know, he didn't just say build a boat mm-hmm. and then said, figure it out, Noah. He didn't say figure it out, Noah. No, what he did was he gave him the measurements, the materials, the strategy, you know. So that's a prime example of if God's only told you to build the boat, but didn't give you measurements, didn't give you materials. That might mean you have to go back to God about that thing. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah. Don't prematurely build your ark. Just because you heard God say build an ark, now it's time for you to go back and ask God, okay, what dimensions? What would you like it made of? What are my due dates?
It's like that that verse in Matthew where Jesus was like, you know what I'm talking about. He said, like, basically, before you build something,
count the cost.
Yeah, count the cost. Count the cost. Count the cost is very important.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, man. Great talk. Follow Victor Kyle Greaves on Instagram. Remember to go to quarantinewithjesus.com. Share your testimony anonymously. Follow us on Instagram at quarantinewithjesus. DM us any questions, anything you want us to speak about. And follow at United Youth on Instagram. And we're going to see y'all next week.